Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, and also conceived a son, and this is her sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel of the Lord departed from her. Title of my message today is "Let It Be." Subtitle is "There's Something About Mary." Let me ask you this question. What would your 2016 be remembered for? What would it be remembered for personally? I've been studying over the last couple of weeks. I'm a big fan of like end of year lists. And I'm a movie buff, so I like to see what movie critics are saying are the movies of the year. And I'm also a musician, so I like to see what, you know, people consider the songs of the year. But it's been interesting to note like the top news stories have all been quite sad, actually. There have been events of terrorism that have happened, what's happened recently in Syria. For those of you who have been following the elections in the United States, what's happened there, and you know, whether it's Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter, also what's happened here locally. The only good news has been like some of the professional sports teams, and I know I've just lost my female audience right now, that have not won professional sports competitions have finally won after many years. So whether it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, for those of you who men who are, or women who may be LeBron fans, I'm still mad at him for leaving my Miami Heat, or the Chicago Cubs, or locally, like the Sharks, right? Any Sharks fans here? That's right. Not even half a clap for the Sydney Sharks. Because, you know, the Maroons still keep on winning. The truth will set you free. Anyway, that's the only good news that I could think of, that, you know, where teams that have not won for a long time, whether it's 50 or 100 years, have won. But the news has been rather negative and saddening. Even this week, for those of you who have been following pop culture, have noticed George Michael passed away. For those of you who are 80s children, I must admit I was a big Wham fan growing up. Yes. The first 12-inch record I bought was a George Michael 12-inch record. Yeah, I'm proud. And I was listening to, you know, some of their music this week, and I was, you know, some of it's quite genius, actually. But George Michael passed away, and then 3 days ago, Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia, passed away at the age of 60. And then the following day, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, who's also another legend from movies like Singing in the Rain, passed away. Her son, Carrie Fisher's brother, stated that she died of a broken heart because she wanted to be with her daughter. I was just a sad way to end the year. And, you know, a number of people that I really respect musically and in the arts have passed away this year. So it's been a rough year, whether politically, whether just in the general news front, or even in the, in pop culture. It's been a rather sad year. But how many of you know that in sad times, that's when the church actually should thrive? And that's when we need to be the church and bring and be the vessels that carry the joy of the Lord. And so we're at a point of choice. Have you ever thought about this? Like, to think about whether we utilize this year as an opportunity to continue in the manner that we're going in, or we choose to change the climate of which we move into the new year. You're at a point of choice. You can choose. You can choose how you enter into 2017. And so I wanted to utilize the story of Mary as a way to choose wisely. Does this make sense? Now, some of you may have come from cultures where Mary is revered, but revered in such a way where she's somewhat of a deity or a semi-deity, or like for those of you who watched Moana recently, like a Maui demigod, whatever that thing is, you know. How many of you know Mary was human, okay, fully human, but she is to be honored for her obedience? So we don't pray to Mary necessarily. And again, for those of you who may have come from cultures where you may have learned that, I respectfully ask you to read your Bible with regards to this. But we do revere her. We do celebrate Mary because she is a model of what it looks like to take what could have been a negative situation but choose to use it for the glorification of God. I believe Mary, like when I read about the story of Mary and how she responded to this calling to be the mother of Jesus Christ and how she responded, I want that sort of level of obedience. And so this is what I want to get at today. But I'm asking the question, like as we move into this next year, it's not only what your, by the end of the year, what your 2017 will be remembered for, but what will your life be remembered for? Like when we remember Mary, we remember her utter obedience to the Lord. Even throughout her life, right? Because how many of you know, like her son was also fully God and fully man at the same time. And there were a couple of times that you might remember, like in John chapter 2, where Jesus walks into a wedding and there's no wine. They run out of wine at the wedding. And then Mary tries to, you know, be a mother to Jesus because she is, right? Hey, Jesus, can you hook him up? And the Bible actually says clearly, even if you read it in the Greek, the Bible actually says that Jesus talks to Mary and says, woman, my time has not yet come. That's the literal words that come out of Jesus' mouth. Now, if I said that to my mom, many of you have met my mom, right? If I said that to my mom, she would say in Psalm 1, even if you're a pastor, I will smack you into Tuesday. Like, and she would have every right to. But Mary understood, no, I'm called to parent God in human flesh. And so there's an obedience, not just in this example, but in the way she walks her life out, even to the cross, because I mean, even though Jesus died and she was still alive, but to witness her son take that utter obedience. Like, I don't know about you, but like, if my mama saw me carrying a cross, she would have, like, even though she don't know any martial arts, she would have, like, got the Matrix hookup and smashed everybody. Said, not my boy. You ain't taking my boy. You would have heard, you know, the Maori thing. You're not touching my babies anymore, Roman centurions. Like, she would have totally went buck wild. But I'm here to tell you, like, Mary is an example of utter obedience to God and a good response as to how you enter into what God has called you to enter into your calling. So let's pray. Father, as we unpack this word, your word, it's your scriptures. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us in breathing life on your word, so that we can hear directly from you as to how you want us to extract truth for our lives today. Lord, let us be aware. I pray, Lord, for a preparation of our hearts, even as we enter into this new year, God, of how you want us to walk into it. And we thank you for the example of your daughter Mary, Lord God, that you've given us this biblical example to follow. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift, obviously, of your son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that has been bought for us in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now check this out. We're back to verse 26. I'm simply going to break down the scriptures we just read. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city called Galilee named Nazareth. Now, I wanted to emphasize this town. Right now, it has a population of about 76,000 people. But back in the day, back in the time of Jesus Christ, there is a current archaeologist by the name of Dr. James Strange. Yes, Dr. Strange, I'm not kidding, that's his name. And he actually researched Nazareth in the region. Like, most scholars believe there were actually 2,000 people that populated there, but like in recent archaeological digs that they did there, the town is actually super small. It's only between 440 to 460 people that resided in Nazareth. She was a small town girl. Just a small town girl. I just had to go there. I'm sorry. Small town girl. But how many of you know God can use people in small town types of situations with huge plans from a big God? How many of you know about small towns and the dynamic in small towns? How many of you grew up in a small town? Like Auckland or smaller? Because to me now, Auckland, we're about 1.2 million, right, in Auckland City. So, yeah, like anything less than a million, I consider it like a town, not a city, right? And then there's small towns. Small towns. How many of you, like even in Auckland City, for those of you who grew up in Auckland City, or even here in Brisbane, like in Brisbane, we've got about 3 million if you count the Gold Coast, but like how many of you know in Brisbane we have sections of Brisbane, and then, and like if you live in Logan, like Logan, Marsden, Browns Plains, how many of you know like that's town within a city, because people know people, right? And within that people group, talk happens. People know people, and then, thanks to the help of social media, also, people start to know people, and then people talk. So Mary grew up in this very small, isolated. Can you imagine, like? 400 people? Like, most of your schools are like four times that. Smaller than your school. Like, the whole year 11 of your school is Nazareth. That's the population of Nazareth. So everybody knows everybody's business. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, everybody knows everybody's stuff. So check this out, okay? Mary is up and coming. Like, she's around, scholars believe around 15, 16, 17 years old. She's emerging as a young, beautiful teenager. And she gets the call from the Lord through the angel Gabriel to a virgin betrothed. Now, in verse 27, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, Joseph was older. He was in his 20s. He already had a solid job. Just saying, men. Just saying. Look for a job before you get the hookup. I'm just saying. Adam was a zoologist before he got Eve. All right, just saying. Betrothed to a man, okay? Now, the word betrothed is, there's a Hebrew tradition of betrothal. It's kind of similar to the engagement process here. Basically, you are ready to be married. Like, you have an engagement sign around your neck. Like, this woman is mine. This man is mine. I am betrothed. I'm promised to be married. We're in the process about to get married. There's obviously Hebrew cultural differences in the engagement process, but you'll understand when you are betrothed to somebody, you are set to marry them, okay? So she was betrothed to Joseph, and Joseph was from the line of Abraham, David. He was from this Mosaic line that came all the way. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, that Joseph, being the father of Jesus, was the one whom the lineage that was promised in the prophecy of Jesus being born. So, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, check this out. You've got to understand this. Now, this principle will come up again. A life well lived is a life lived with the right people. A life well lived is a life lived with the right people. I'm going to bring this up again with regards to her relative, Elizabeth. But if she was hooked up with the wrong dude, can you imagine the catastrophe that would happen here? Of course, God in his predestination and in his sovereignty knew what he was doing when he brought Joseph and Mary together. And that's why it's so important for the single people in here to wait upon the Lord, for God to bring the right people alongside you as you are walking out in your obedience and the development of your character in God. So she's walking out this life and living out this life of utter obedience. Even as a teenager, for all my teenagers in here, God can use you. Didn't get any amens on that. I'm just going to take that for granted that you're all old. It doesn't apply to me. I'm older than teen. So just amen for them. All right. Verse 28, it says, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, how many of you know, like, angels in the Bible are not like babies with diapers and wings. A biblical angel is a brooding big figure. You know, Pastor Rice Brooks would always say, when talking about angels, angels are not babies with diapers. And if you ever saw an angel, you would need a diaper. Because they are big, brooding figures. Now here's the thing. Like, can you imagine Gabriel comes in? Oh, you can hear the soundtrack. Like, you know, like, angelic ground. And Gabriel comes out. And this angel comes out and says, greetings. Oh, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, most of us would have celebrated at that point. But here's how well Mary knows her God. Verse 29, and she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Because you know that Mary knew, oh, you're just trying to chat me up, angel guy. She knew that if he is distinguishing the fact that she was a favored one, that favor existed for a purpose. See, the power of God doesn't just come on you so you can get the shakes. The power of God comes on you so you can take that power outward. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus' final words to his disciples before he ascended was, you will be my witnesses. You will receive the Holy Spirit and power. The Greek is dunamis, power. And what's the power? He didn't end it right there. You will receive the Holy Spirit and power. And then he took off. No, he said, you will receive the Holy Spirit and power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The power exists for a reason. Let me take it a step further. You're alive for a reason. The power that you have biologically to live and breathe is for a reason. Now, you can choose to enter into 2017 being detached from that purpose and that reason, only to find yourself wanting and needing at the end of 2017 going, man, what did my life really count for? Or you can attach yourself to this purpose like Mary did, knowing, okay, he called me favored one. That means something's about to happen because favor doesn't just come on you for favor's purposes. Favor comes on you because he has favored you to do something with that favor. Are you ready? Like, we want the favor. How many of you want the favor of the Lord? God gives you the favor to do the favor. Verse 29 again. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Okay, what you want about angel? See, the whole thing is that favor comes with responsibility. That line, that truth, from the first Spider-Man movie that gets quoted in a lot of sermons. Why don't I just join in the queue and quote it right now? With great power comes great responsibility. That's the truth. Like, God gives you power with responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. So if he gives you a mouth, you better use it to the glory of God. If he gives you a talent, you better use it to the glory of God. If God gives you resources, you better use it to the glory of God. But the mere fact, like some of you might say, I don't have any talent, Pastor Nelly. Usually talk like that, right? I don't have any talent, Pastor Nelly. I don't have any cash. I'm more broken than the Ten Commandments. I don't have any cash, Pastor Nelly. I don't have anything to give. Well, you are alive. Give him that. Otherwise, just fold your lungs up and die. Like, come on. God gives you life and breath. Use that breath for something. You are alive by the... Now, you're at a point of choice again. This is why I was hoping we could have this service before New Year's, because I wanted to give you this challenge before we enter into the New Year so you can make the right choice. Favor comes with responsibility. And the angel of the Lord said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. See, the thing about it is if he gives you the favor, he doesn't just give it to you and detach himself from it. This is what we call in theology deism, where God... The incorrect theological thought is that God puts the world into motion and then detaches himself from it. No, God gets involved with his creation. God is with us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. That was the name he was given at birth. Even his word, his name, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the one who saves. Jesus is the one who saves. He doesn't save us like the Bette Midler song. I love that song, but it's not true. He doesn't save us from a distance. He gets involved with his creation. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And see, God's favor also comes with God's presence. He is with you. Turn to somebody. Encourage three people around you. God is with you. God is with you. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, everybody. Now check this out. You can either walk into this next year acknowledging his presence, acknowledging that he will give you everything you need to walk into this next year. Or you can walk into this next year trying to detach yourself from the knowledge that he is with you and trying to roll into this next year. Now, I'm not dismissing the fact that a lot of circumstances happen to make it a hard year. For me, 2016 was a hard year on a personal level. But I can't deny the presence of the Holy Spirit walking with Tina and I, you know, and our family through what we've been walking through and through, you know, with all of you. God is with you. Now, you can choose to walk with him, or you can choose to repeat the same pattern that Tina was talking about. That just because you're going around in circles, you think, well, at least I'm moving. You're just having fun in a revolving door. How about entering in to his presence where there's fullness of joy? Like, actually just stop. Woo, this is fun. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's awesome. April, May, June, July, August. Oh, I love it. I'm moving in God. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm glad. I'm mad. Like, you're just going around in circles. Man, that was dizzying. Oh, slow down. If you actually understand that God's presence empowers you to move in his presence, you'll actually understand why you're on earth. Can I be really real with you? Is this okay? I want to say this with the most love. And for you who are visitors, just let this ride off your shoulders, okay? We hope you come back. But this is how real we get here at Every Nation Brisbane. You want to move? How many of you want to move into maturity in 2017? Then grow up and make disciples. It's not about you. I hope I wonder if you figured that out. Like the gospel message clearly states that we're to lay our lives down. Other religious beliefs may say, you know, try to make your life better. Here's 10 principles to make your life better, to line your house up in such a way that it will accentuate the flow of the Spirit so that you can have a better life. Christianity says die. Your house belongs to him anyway. No matter where you put the pot plants. No matter where you bow. And again, I'm not trying to demean these religions and these beliefs. I respect those and honor those who have those beliefs. But Christianity is different in the sense that our God says, no, you don't want a better life. You want to lay that life down. I'll give you a better life by giving you a completely new one. But you can't have a completely new one if you're still breathing and living in the old one. That's why in cemeteries, when you walk around the cemetery, no one complains because they're dead. You don't walk around Mount Kutha Cemetery and, ouch, oh, don't step on my flowers. No, because you're dead. You're D-E-A-D, dead, like R-I-P. God's favor comes with God's presence. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, God who saves. Verse 32, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The reason why he mentions the kingdom that will be no end is because he wants to remind Mary of the promise in Isaiah 9 that we talked about last week. Remember 760 years ago plus, you know, around there, there was a promise given to Isaiah that there would come a child who was born, a son that was given, and on of his kingdom there will be no end. That's your son. It's going to be in your womb. Now watch Mary, verse 34. And the Mary said to the angel, now how will this be since I am a virgin? She doesn't like, woohoo, that's awesome. She's like, okay, let's think practically. Just put it on pause, Gabriel. Tell your choir to be quiet. I just want to, it's you and I, let's talk. How will this be since I am a virgin? The Bible also talks about how will this be, literally in the Greek, since I have not known a man, have that intimacy with a man. Now, God responds through the angel and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, just for a moment, I just want to throw this out there. Verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. How many of you are believing for the Holy Spirit to come upon you? And the power of the Most High will overshadow you to the point where we don't see you anymore. We see nothing but God on you. You know, when Moses descended from the Mount Sinai, when he came down with the Ten Commandments, they saw him and he was glowing because he had been in the presence of the Lord. I know it's corny, but I'm going to throw it out there. He had a suntan, an S-O-N tan, like he had been in the presence of the... I know. I just want to throw it out there, throw all my corny dad jokes out there because we're starting a new year, getting some new jokes, all right? In verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, I need you to understand this too. Like, God makes his presence available to you. How many of you would say, and you don't have to lift your hands in response to this question, but how many of you would say, man, I need to go deeper in God this year. I'm definitely in that camp for myself personally. What I know of Scripture, what I know of his presence in prayer, I'm telling you as your pastor, this next year, we want to pour ourselves out in prayer a lot more this year because of where God wants to take us. In order to go wider in our impact, we need to go deeper in his presence. And if you want that in your life, you're going to need to pay a price to go deeper in God. You don't settle for where you are. It's so easy to do that in Brisbane, but don't settle for where you are. And you can tell somebody who walks in the presence of God because of who they surround themselves with and how they make decisions. Because they're so immersed and overshadowed by the presence of God and the Spirit of God that they speak with such a divine tongue because it's been ordained with the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been in the presence of somebody who just has supernatural wisdom from on high and knows how to make decisions that you're like, wow, how did you come up with that? How did you think that way? Or how were you able to break the scriptures down that way? Or how were you able to know that was going to happen to me? Or how were you able to know that that happened in my past? No one was there. Like, if we can move in a place where normal Christianity becomes how we walk in the supernatural, where we see the supernatural become the natural way we engage in the world, that's our God, and that's the way God wants us to walk. And so I really believe, you know, not only was Elizabeth, whom was her relative, pregnant as a confirmation for her at the same time, but obviously, whom Elizabeth was pregnant with was John the Baptizer, who would eventually baptize Jesus and be the precursor for his ministry. See, when you get in a zone where God wants to do the miraculous through you, he will surround you with people who have the same heart to see the miraculous around you. And that's the sort of environment we want to see here in Every Nation Brisbane. Look, there's no point to evangelism without the presence of God. There's no point to trying to reach out unless we are guided by his Holy Spirit. And so we need our churches, our life groups, anything that we do as a church, whether formally or informally, the way you relate, to be constantly aware of what the Holy Spirit desires to do. We have avenues to train you in this. Throughout this year, we've got Leadership 215. We've got Making Disciples, which will teach you how to engage those who don't know Christ. Foundations for Victory. I urge you to sign up there. Some of you have come into this year, are about to enter into this new year, and you're like, man, Pastor Nelly, I need to just reset. This year's been, it's been crazy, and I've made some mistakes along the way. I just need to reset. Then reset right. Don't just reset and keep resetting like the way my girls play Xbox. I never get my TV back because they're resetting every 30 seconds. Oh, failed again. I'm like, when can I watch my own television? It's like, after we finish. That's the problem with, you know, back in the day. How many of you used to grow back up in the day, you know? How many of you remember 20s? You go down to the takeaway, put 20 cents, and you only go with a dollar, you put 20 cents. Once your 5 20s are done, you're done. You know, back in the day, your game came to an end because you ran out of 20s. Now, my kids, man, like, they finish the game in 30 seconds and then, just press reset. Let's not live constantly pressing reset. Like, let this be the last time you reset. Like, you'll make mistakes, but at least make mistakes walking forward rather than in the revolving door. And the way you do that is you access people who can get around you and help you walk out in your growth. Like, you can't sit here and go, man, I am the same person, if not worse than I was this time last year. The choice is yours. And Every Nation Brisbane, we are committed. If you say, yes, I want to grow in God, we will help you grow. We have ways to help you grow. But it's your choice. We can arrive at this service at the end of this year, at the end of 2017, and you can come back to this place only to see another year wasted. Like, you can't come back, you know, like Pastor Ken Du always used to say, you can reach the end of this year, each year, and go, I wish I had, or I'm glad I did. And this year, you know, even though it's been hard, I'm glad I did. I'm glad we persevered. I'm glad we pressed through. I'm glad we got to see the breakthrough. For, you know, verse 37, stand on this, everybody, for nothing will be impossible. What's your impossibility? God is in the business of making the impossible possible. Last thoughts. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Like Paul McCartney said, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That's what the angel was waiting for. Yep. I make a decision. I'm going for it. Let it be. You're at a point of choice right now, my brothers and sisters, whether you choose to let it be or you choose to say, not for me. That's your choice today. If you're here to say, let it be to me according to your word, I'm just going to give you some practical things to put in your pocket so it's not just a decision without any weightage to it. Three things about the word of God. You've got to know his word. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts. Doesn't say read. It says meditate. That means chew on it all day, all night. Meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. When's the last time you delighted in reading the word? Is it still at the stage of duty? Or have you moved to a place of delight where you open the word and you're like, man, I can't wait to get with God and open up his word. It takes some work to get to that place. But you got to know his word. In order to make wise decisions, you've got to know his word. And then once you know his word, number two, you've got to obey his word. It's one thing to know him, know the word. A lot of demons know the word of God, but it's another thing to make a decision. Okay, this is what the Bible says. I'm not going to twist it up. If this Bible says do this, I'm going to make a wise decision and obey what his word says. The way I relate to other people, the way I operate in relationships, in my marriage, those of you who are in courtship and, you know, like you're together with other people, you make decisions based on the word of God because you're making the decision, be it unto me, let it be according to your word. Psalm 119 verse 10 says, with my whole heart I seek you. Not just the parts of my heart that are convenient. My whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. How's your storeroom looking of the word of God in your heart? If I go to the storeroom of your heart, or if Jesus, more importantly, goes to the storeroom of your heart and he looks in the different compartments of the storeroom, like pretend it's like a big safe, and you go in, okay, what words do you have with regards to lust? Nothing but spider webs. That's the reason why you keep falling into the same trap, because you don't know the word of God and you're not choosing to obey the word of God. Are you with me? Like you gotta meditate on it. You gotta get it in your spirit so you know how to make wiser decisions. But if you don't know the word of God, you don't know how to operate in life in accordance with his word. And in discipleship, that's what we need to teach our people, to obey the word of God. Let me tell you something. Look up at me, everybody. If you are making disciples and if you are discipling or mentoring somebody but you don't know the word of God, stop right there. Okay, you need to know the word of God in order to teach the word of God, teach how to obey his commandments. That's what the Bible clearly says in the Great Commission. Teach them to obey and I will be with you always to the ends of the earth. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, the fuller your storeroom is of the word of God, the easier it becomes to obey God. But if your storeroom is full of cobwebs, and there's no marination in scripture within the storeroom of your heart, you don't need to arrive at the end of 2017 in the state that you might have found yourself in right now. How many of you would say, yeah, I want a storeroom full of the word of God? How many of you would say that? Okay. Spread his word. Okay, so it's one thing to know his word. Secondly, obey his word. And then number three, you need to spread his word. It's not just for you to keep inside. But his word that transforms you becomes a testimony that others may see the word of God in its appropriate nature. Now, again, you'll notice that I'm quoting from Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it happens, it's the longest chapter in the Word of God, and it happens to be all about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 46, I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Look, let me tell you, if you love Scripture, you can't stop talking about it. If you love anything, you can't stop talking about it, right? If you love the Word of God, you won't be able to stop talking about it. How did Mary respond? Mary responded, and you got to understand the circumstance, okay? Mary's a teenager in a small town, and people talked. She could have been like, oh, are you serious, angel? Look, I go to this school in this small town. It's my final year, and I'm about to get married, because we do in this day and age at that time. But seriously, you're gonna make me pregnant? And then my answer that I need to tell everybody is that the Holy Spirit did this? So not only am I going to be like that girl, but I'm going to be that girl, that crazy girl. Like, I'm going to walk around and, okay, what happened? Oh, Joseph. You know, like, Joseph. What a sad guy. Oh, no, it wasn't Joseph. It was the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how that sounds in your high school? No, it wasn't Joseph. It was the Holy Spirit. Yeah. She was that girl. But she still said, I completely understand everything I need to walk through. But I count it an honor to be used of God to bring God to more people. That if this is going to be my persecution, if this is going to be my lot, what an honor to bring the Son of God into the earth. I count it a privilege to be used of God in any manner. And her whole life, while Jesus was on this planet, was one of sacrifice, was one of, you know, every encounter we read, like even when Jesus is at the temple at the age of 12, right? And she's like, where have you been? I've been in my Father's house. No, you're supposed to be with us. Huh? Can't you see there's thousands of people here and you could have gotten lost? I was in my Father's house. Oh, if I was the Father, come here. You're going to kiss my Converse. That's what, you know. But she understood. She understood the nature of her calling and the weightage of her obedience. That is why we revere Mary and we look at her example of obedience to God. We don't worship Mary. But we honor her obedience because through her, the Son of God was born. That's how we move into this new year.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.